some stopped the mouths of lions, and that's our focus. But let's start at verse 32, Hebrews 11, 32, that's on page 1196. Hebrews 11 at verse 32, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises," and here's our text, "stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight." And that's as far as we're going to be reading for this morning. I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open to Daniel chapter 6, where we're going to be focusing Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to turn back to Daniel 6. Again, that's page 882 in our Black Pew Bibles. We pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of His Word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, there are few beasts that can cause terror like lions. Lions are called the king of the jungle for good reason. The power and the ferocious attack is well testified. But the fact is, lions are not native here to North America. Although the closest we might come to a lion would be in a zoo where they are safely behind bars, or in the circus where they are trained and usually obey. But in the context of a Roman Colosseum, to see a lion is to be coming face to face with a man-eater. It is this kind of ferocious attack from an animal that we are going to be looking at today. Hebrews 11 says, "By faith, some stopped the mouths of lions." As you will remember, both Samson and David fought lions and overcame, but Daniel is unique in that by faith, the mouth of the lion was shut, was stopped. So today we return back to the book of Daniel, and we're going to be looking at this theme. Jesus Christ shuts the mouth of the lion as he rescues those who look to him in faith. I'll say that again. Jesus Christ shuts the mouth of the lion as he rescues those who look to him in faith. I was recently in a conversation with someone, and in this conversation, it was said to me that a common problem in our churches, generally speaking, a common problem in our churches is that many people do not take their faith seriously. It was stated that most young people in our churches today are asleep, not physically, but they are asleep. They don't know how important the gospel is. They take the gospel for granted. They've never been struck by the seriousness of their faith. And when it comes to our older members, some of our older members are so worried about the things of this world that the faith, the things of the faith, are secondary if thought of at all. I'll leave it up to you whether or not you agree with that statement, but it must be said that true faith takes the things of God seriously. For Daniel, not only last week with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but for Daniel, it was a life and death issue. And even for many Christians today around the world, maybe not here in North America, but in many different places in this world, to stand up and say, "I am a Christian," is to put not only your possessions in danger, your family in danger, your own life in danger. So today we are going to see that Daniel is a man of faith who takes his faith seriously. In our first point, then, we look at the challenge presented to Daniel's faith. Remember here that in the book of Daniel, we're moving from last week from chapter 3 to chapter 6, and significant time has passed, perhaps somewhere in the realm of 70 years. So from last week, 70 years have passed. Daniel, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were brought into captivity into Babylon as a young man of that royal lineage, taken away from their family, taken away from their home, taken away from access to the temple, removed from that sacred communion of the saints, placed into the context of false religion raised in the way of Babylonian teaching, and Daniel was forced to stand. You remember already in chapter 1, Daniel as a young man, somewhere around maybe age 10, Daniel was forced to make a decision. Will you bow the knee and will your life accommodate the things of this world? Will you eat the meat and the wine sacrificed to pagan gods? Will your life reflect that of the world around you? Or will you act differently? Will you be set apart? Well, in Daniel 1, Daniel would not defile himself. He refused to be polluted, even though he was removed from everything that he had known. So Daniel shares this with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the context of hostility, standing firm in the faith when they were young. But as I said before, significant time has passed. If you have your Bibles open, you will see that at the end of chapter 5, we have the death of Belshazzar and the fall of the Chaldean kingdom. To take the place of Belshazzar, King Darius the Mede would arrive. So if we're following the historical development, we have the reign of Nebuchadnezzar I, of Nebuchadnezzar II, of Belshazzar, of Cyrus, and finally now Darius. All of that is to say 70 years have passed from when Daniel was brought into captivity. And you'll remember the vision that Daniel had back in Daniel chapter 2. There was this golden head and this silver chest, which represented the Persian Empire. So we passed away from the golden head, Babylonian Empire, now to the Persian Empire, the silver chest. Many kings and their kingdoms have come and gone. But Daniel is still here in captivity. Well into his 80s at this point in his life, Daniel is still being useful. He's being used by the Lord and even benefiting the kings of this world. It's a good reminder that Daniel does not say, I'm too old for this. Daniel did not say, I've done my part, it's time for me to be put out to pasture. It also must be said, you are never too old to be persecuted for your faith. So if in chapter 3 last week with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we focused on the challenge to your faith when you are young, chapter 6 is bringing before us the challenge to your faith when you are old, when your hair is gray. The challenge to your faith remains. So in Daniel's faithful service and wisdom, he is elevated above others against the various governors and presidents of the day, and he's put in charge. We see similarities between Daniel and Darius and Joseph and Pharaoh. But this elevation of Daniel above all others, so that Darius was going to say, whatever needed to be done is going to be put in his capable hands, this is met with hostility. So in Daniel 6, verse 4, we find that the high officials and satraps sought to find grounds for complaint against Daniel. They wanted Daniel removed by way of investigation. They wanted to find out something against him. Is Daniel skimming off the top? Is he padding his own pocketbook? Is he being unfaithful, or is he not withholding justice? But in all of their investigation, nothing could be found against Daniel. These rulers are moved by jealousy, and they conceive a plot to get rid of Daniel. It's almost as if we can catch glimpses of the devil's attack against Job. It's almost as if the Lord has said, have you considered my servant Daniel? There is no one like him in the land. So the devil is stirring up the hearts of the other leaders in the land to try to find some way to bring Daniel down. And they're forced to say, these other rulers are forced to say, we're not going to find anything against him concerning his rule, concerning his wisdom, concerning how he serves. The only ground is going to be concerning his religion, concerning his faith. So moved by jealousy, they convince King Darius. And interestingly, these kings, or these other presidents, say to the king, "We are all in agreement." They've left out a very significant fact, that Daniel did not agree to this. But they make it sound that everyone, all of the governors underneath you, have made this decision. And this is a great idea. Verse 7. And then again in verse 9, this injunction is made binding. And according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, once it receives that seal, that stamp of approval, it cannot be broken or cannot be removed. So wicked men twist the laws of the land in order to persecute God's people. There is really nothing new under the sun. And Daniel has to make a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Acts 5:29. Will he obey God or man? Will the advanced age of Daniel bring about a weakness in his faith? Will this order that the king has made be so strong that Daniel will buckle against it? What's going to win the day? The law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be broken or changed or altered? King Darius, the emperor of his day? Or Daniel, an old man? Well, as you know, Daniel refuses to bow the knee. And an added level of persecution is added, another level to this challenge to his faith. Not only does he hear the threat of the lion's den, he's tossed into the lion's den. Will the lions that surround him during the day, his human enemies, or the literal lions that surround him at night in the lion's den, shake his faith? Will he go back on his profession? Will the stone that is placed on top of this den, a stone sealing his grave, with a stamp of a seal from the king himself upon it, will that keep Daniel in the tomb? Will his lonely night in the cave, surrounded by an unseen enemy, prove to be his undoing? Will his faith remain standing? Psalm 22 puts it like this: "Deliver me from the power of the sword, save me from the mouth of the lion." Well, now that we have considered the challenge to Daniel's faith coming from men, but also from the devil, trying to get Daniel to deny his faith, to renounce his God, curse God and die. Why do you cling to your faith, Daniel? In our next point, we're going to see the content of his faith, how through chapter 6 we see this clear refrain pointing to the various aspects of his faith. How do we know that Daniel is a man of faith? That he's a sturdy, firm, steadfast faith? Although it is true he was brought from Judea into Babylon at a young age, has his faith been sustained through his entire life? Do we find evidence for the perseverance of the saints? Yes, Daniel has true faith, and that faith perseveres to the end. 70 years of obedience while in a foreign land. Added to this, his faith is a living and active faith. It is known by everyone Daniel comes into contact with that Daniel is, 6 verse 4 says, above reproach. There is no one who can bring an accusation against him. Even his enemies are forced to admit, Daniel is a faithful man. There's no grounds for complaints against him. Daniel was innocent before men and innocent before God. dedicated to serving the Lord and obeying him. This faith is evident in his prayer. Verse 10 says that three times a day, as was his custom, he bowed on his aged knees and prayed to the Lord, praying for the peace not only of the city in which he dwells, but praying for the peace of Jerusalem and the restoration of God's people out of captivity. That was his custom. He was not too old to be useful, not only to the king, but within the kingdom. Nor was Daniel too busy to pray. One of the first things that tends to be overlooked in our lives when we become busy is that of prayer. If you are like me, when you have a list of things that needs to be done, prayer is pushed off as, I'll get to it when I have some time. I have to get my list of things done first. We neglect communion with the Lord. But many of the reformers made prayer a priority. So it is with Daniel. He would not be wavered. His faith would not be moved. His communion with the Lord was a priority, and three times a day he knelt and prayed. He was unwavering. Daniel was faithful. He would not neglect the secret chamber or the inner closet of prayer. You see, the default position of Daniel was this: in good times and in bad, in times of ease or times of persecution, he bowed his head and prayed. Daniel is known as a man of faith by the prayers that he offered. The fact is, one of the marks that sets a person, a man apart for service, you think of the character traits of an elder and deacon, a church leader, is that they are men of prayer. Daniel exemplifies the character trait of a church leader. He's consistent in his prayer life. Continuing on, we note in 6:22 that he is blameless before God, and again in verse 23, he trusted in his God. So he's a man of obedience, he's a man of consistent faith, he's a man of prayer, and he is blameless before the Lord. Being right with God, we should think the word justified. Because he trusted in the Lord, and he trusted in the Lord's promises. In fact, Daniel's name means, the Lord is my judge. And Daniel was right with God, because Daniel's faith was a justifying faith. True faith is a knowledge, a conviction, a deep-seated assurance. It is a deep heart rooted in this truth, that although God cannot be seen, God is true. And even though he is praying to the unseen God, Daniel knows that God hears and will answer his prayer. By faith, he knew the truth, and the truth would set him free. Listen to these words from Psalm 71. We sang this earlier. Psalm 71, verse 18. So even to old age and gray hair, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to those that are still to come. One of the aspects of the Christian faith that I have the opportunity to minister to is people who are advanced in their sunset years of life. And a question that I often get is, Pastor, why am I still here? I thought my work was done. The psalmist prays, even to my old age and gray hair, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation and your power to all who are to come. I submit to you that one of the reasons God gives long life to his saints is so that they might be consistent in prayer and that they might tell the next generation of the great things God has done for them. As it is with Daniel. To be consistent in prayer and proclaiming to the next generation who is the Lord and what he has done. So Daniel is a man of faith, and that faith that put him in the lion's den is a faith that will sustain him while he's in that lion's den. For by faith, the mouth of lions would be shut. Daniel's life is a study case of the perseverance of the saints. He has lived, and he is ready to die in the comfort of this true faith. And we know that true faith in the living God is never vain. After a restless night, King Darius rushes out to the lion's cave and cries out to Daniel, "Daniel, has the God whom you serve day and night, has he been able to save you?" To this question, Daniel answers in verse 22, "My God sent his angel to shut the mouth of the lion so that no harm would come upon me." You see, brothers and sisters, the mouth of the lion was locked shut, bolted and barred. These ferocious beasts turned into kittens in the presence of Daniel. Daniel was as safe and secure in the lion's den as he would be in his own bed. We saw this last week with the fire. The Lord shows up and the fire is restrained. The fire can't do anything. The fire is extinguished in the presence of God's people. It cannot harm those whom the Lord has chosen. So it is in the presence of this enemy, the lion, it is unable to harm God's chosen one. This time, the angel is sent from the Lord to restrain the lion. As you know, the Lord has a host, an untold multitude of angels, ministering spirits, who he sends out to protect his people. This is what Hebrews 1 verse 11 says. Angels are ministering spirits sent out to serve the elect, to serve those whom God has chosen. Although it is true, as we're going to sing in a few minutes ago, that this world is filled with devils, fallen angels, it is also true that this world is filled with ministering spirits, angels sent from God's presence himself with the expressed purpose of protecting God's people and keeping them from harm. Again, in Psalm 22, verse 8, he trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. When you come to trust in the Lord with all your heart, leaning not on your own understanding, in all your ways you will be directed and your path protected. Those who are in the hands of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, cannot be snatched, and no harm will ultimately come to them. They cannot be removed from his loving care. So Daniel, being lifted out of the lion's den, and upon inspection, it was noted that not one hair of his head had been harmed. Not a scratch, not a bite, not so much as a bruise in the presence of these mighty beasts. So then, by faith, the mouth of lions has been stopped. Or rather, I would say, it is by faith in God. It is the God in whom Daniel trusts. It is this one that stops the mouth of the lion. As Jesus himself would say, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, "Move," and it will be moved. It will jump into the heart of the sea. The point of that is simply this. Although there are many things impossible for us to do, if we by faith are joined to Christ, there is nothing impossible for him to do. He can shut the mouth of lions. He can roll back stones. He can rise from the grave, and he can raise you up as well. Surely the mouth of the enemy will be sealed when God's people go forth in faith. But not so the wicked. Although the mouth of the lion was bolted and sealed in the presence of Daniel, the same cannot be said in the presence of Daniel's enemies. So in 6 verse 24, Darius says, "Round up all those wicked men that falsely accused Daniel and put them in the same den that Daniel was in. And as soon as they, their wives, and their children are cast into the den, they are quickly overpowered, crushed, their bones broken into pieces. As it was with the fiery furnace last week, the enemy is consumed, is destroyed by the very thing that God's people face. The enemy is defeated while the righteous are saved." So Daniel receives a secondary deliverance, doesn't he? Not only is he saved from the lions in the den, he is saved from the lions, from the foes, from these other rulers that sought to persecute him, because they are killed. They're removed. Daniel is spared from the attack of the wicked men as their own wicked plans are returned and come upon their own heads. The Lord says in Romans 12, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." We need not worry about the end of our enemies, for their end will be swift and just. By faith we know that our enemies will be defeated. The fact is, God's people face various foes, various enemies, and specific trials. Chief among our enemies is the devil, that fallen angel, the ancient serpent, the deceiver and accuser of men. The devil is called the father of lies and is often compared to a lion. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. "Satan is prowling around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." The fact is, the devil wants to tear, rip, and devour as many people as he can and bring them down to hell with himself. And the devil also wants to annoy and inflict God's people with as much pain as he possibly can, shooting flaming arrows at us. But take heart, brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ has overcome the devil. He's defeated the foe. He's crushed the head of the serpent. And you will remember that the shield of faith is the very instrument by which we can extinguish the fiery darts of the devil. The devil's jaw has been muzzled. He's been defeated. He can do us no harm. As 1 Peter 5 continues, "God will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." Colossians says that Jesus has disarmed the rulers and powers and authority. Even as Jesus was tempted, he overcame the devil. And one day he will throw the devil out. Satan has already fallen from heaven like lightning. But one day Satan will be cast into the bottomless pit. And a seal will be placed upon that pit so that that ancient lion can come out to hurt and destroy no longer. So when the lions of this world growl, remember that Jesus Christ has them on a chain. Their mouths are locked shut. They cannot ultimately hurt you. Persevere in this faith, being strong, bold, and courageous, for even in the lion's den, our God is with us, sending his angels to minister to us. So we have the angels by which we are protected, and we have his Son who is praying for us. Not just three times a day, we have Jesus Christ praying for us without ceasing. By this we know that we will overcome. That Jesus Christ protects and preserves his church. He protects his people. and he will deliver us from all of our foes. To conclude, kingdoms rise and fall, yet the churches continue to endure. Nations and kings come and go. Some persecute God's people, others do not. But the church remains standing. Let the people of the church learn to trust in the Lord. Let the saints learn to trust in the Lord at a young age. And when they are old, may they not depart from the path of righteousness. God's people must take their faith seriously. The things of the faith, they must take it seriously, not only the young, but also the old. Because our sworn enemies are surrounding us, looking for ways to trip us up and lure us into sin. But praise God, Jesus Christ has shut the mouth of the lion, and he's rescued those who look to him in faith. This world is no friend to faith. More often than not, we face devils which threaten to undo us. But we will not fear, for their doom is sure. One little word shall fell them, and that word is our Savior, Jesus Christ, who delivers us from all our foes. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful reminder of the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. By faith we will overcome because Christ has overcome. He's defeated the devil. He's defeated death. We joined to him find life and happiness for all eternity. When we are tempted to be discouraged, when we are tempted to think that we are too young or too old to be useful anymore, may we learn from this example of a man of faith who, by faith in your Son, was able to face the lion and overcome. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.